Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much, Lydia, and thank you for your kind welcome, Paul and congregation. This is my first visit. Margaret's been a number of times. I hear fantastic things about you all. It's a great joy for me to be here, and lovely to hear all of the reports that have been given today. We're spoilt for choice with all of those invitations to visit the Czech Republic and Greece and Moldova and Bolivia. Lovely to have all of these connections, and thank you very much to those who've already done such a good job in introducing our theme for today. As you see on the screen, we are going to look at the verses which Lydia has read to us under this title of Mission to All and for All. I wonder if any of you here remember when NASA put the first man in orbit around the Earth, a small group of men, in fact. I don't remember it terribly well. I was only 7 years old at the time. But I did read recently that there was some difference of opinion between the astronauts and the NASA officials about the small capsule that they were going to go around the Earth in. The astronauts wanted to have a window in the capsule so they could see everything that was going on. But the NASA officials, being briefed by health and safety, decided it would be too dangerous to have a window in the capsule. In fact, the astronauts won the debate, and so they had fantastic views as they went around the Earth on that first manned orbit. And this is what some of them said. One of the Russian cosmonauts was very surprised that he had such difficulty locating Mount Everest. It was so small. And then a Saudi astronaut said, "On the first day or two, we all pointed to our countries. And then on the third and fourth day, we only pointed to our continents. And by the fifth day, we were aware only of the Earth." And their story is written in a book called Global Citizens, which was published not long ago to try to encourage us to think globally. And that's already what we're doing in this service. And in fact, that is precisely what Matthew wanted as he records these final words of Jesus after he rose from the dead. He wants us to be global Christians. And one thing you notice in the verses which we've read together is a repetition. It talks about Jesus having all authority, Jesus sending us to all nations, the encouragement to teach all things. He's going to be with us at all times, and I'm going to conclude in a few minutes, because he calls all of us. This great commission that Jesus gives is very well known, but it's his final words to his disciples then, and to all of us who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, who are also learners, also disciples. This is his commission to us. And we'll quickly look at those universals that he mentions. The first one, of course, is Jesus' authority. Verse 18, if you have the Bible passage open, it's on page 1000. "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me.'" Well, I think all of us know why this is important, why Jesus says all authority has been given to him. It's because we live in a world, as we've already heard today, where there are many competing claims to truth. There are many other voices about religion. And it is increasingly the case that we Christians are asked, "Why are you so arrogant as to suggest that Jesus is the savior of the world?" It's okay for you to be Christian, but don't absolutize it. Don't universalize it. Don't say that Jesus must be the Savior for all humankind. And of course, it's a good question. We need to be able to respond to it. As we saw on the screen from Matthew's really helpful presentation, there are about 1.5 million Muslims in this country. That's more than there are members of the Church of England. So we live in a different country now. Our society, our schools are very different places. So it's not at all unusual for us to be asked, why do you insist on Jesus? And we have the answer because Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Matthew talks quite a lot about Jesus' authority in his gospel. Jesus had authority to forgive sins, we're told. People were very impressed by Jesus' authority as he taught. And of course, after Jesus had risen from the dead, he now has authority over all powers in heaven and on earth. All authority means Jesus had universal, comprehensive authority. Maybe the idea that came to some of Matthew's first readers was the idea of a victorious military general. He's assuring them all authority is his, unlimited power. And that's how it is for us as Christians and for the call to take the good news of the gospel all around the world, such as we've been hearing this morning already. Jesus, who has authority to teach, Jesus, who has authority to forgive sins, Jesus, who has authority over all powers. He himself is the one who sends us out into the world. So if we're tempted to think that this is far too big a challenge for us, that we evangelicals, as Matthew says, are a small minority in Oswestry or in this culture or in Europe or globally, or if we're intimidated by some of the opposition or the persecution which the church does face increasingingly around the world, then a good place to begin to overcome any hesitance is this expression of Jesus. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So we need to focus on Jesus himself, who is the Lord Jesus, the King. We are sent by Jesus the King. On the screen, you'll see something which John Stott wrote about the subject of mission, which I found really helpful. Nothing is more important for the recovery of the church's mission, where it's been lost, or its development, where it is weak, than a fresh, clear, and comprehensive vision of Jesus Christ. When he is demeaned, and especially when he is denied in the fullness of his unique person and work, the church lacks motivation and direction, our morale crumbles, and our mission disintegrates. But when we see Jesus, it is enough. We have all the inspiration, incentive, authority, and power we need. So that's the Jesus who sends us out in these verses in Matthew 28. He has all authority. And then, as we've already been thinking this morning, all nations. Verse 19, therefore go and make all disciples of all nations. And you'll notice that Jesus introduces that by saying, therefore. In other words, on the basis of the authority of Jesus, we must go to all nations. He is the King, therefore he sends us to all men and women. It is an extraordinary commission when you read it. We're not simply encouraged to make disciples, and it's not simply to disciple churches, and it's not simply to disciple nations. It's to disciple all nations. It's a huge and comprehensive call to take the good news of Jesus all around the globe. And once again, you'll notice this kind of universality. It's for all. But the word Jesus uses implies now it's going beyond the Jewish nation. It's going to the Gentiles. It's going to all nations, to all people groups. It's so important that we have this global perspective, as I said at the beginning. And I often tell the story of the church where Margaret and I spent some years. There were two men who, during the prayer meetings, would always pray around the world. The first one was a man called Mr. Cook, and he prayed very long prayers, maybe 20 minutes or so, and he prayed country after country. We used to call them Cook's Tours. In fact, he had a deep concern for God's people and for the advance of the gospel globally. And the other man, this was in Devon, where we were in the church in Exeter, he used to pray quite regularly, "Lord, we pray for all of the people in the uninhabited parts of the world." And he used to pray it quite often, and we understood what he meant, and we're sure God understood what he meant, because he wanted to see people, wherever they were, come to faith in Jesus Christ. All nations, because of Jesus, all authority. And we should have that in our hearts, and I sense you already do from the very good reports that we've had of the way in which Holy Trinity has these great partnerships. As Matthew said, the world is changing rapidly. When I was born, which is not terribly long ago, about 75% of the world's Christians lived here in the north, in the Western world, Western Europe, North America. And about 25% of the Christians were elsewhere. We often talk about the global south. And just in my lifetime, the center of gravity has changed completely. So now we are 20%, and 80% of the world's Christians are in Africa, Asia, Latin America, in the global south. As Matthew reported, there's fantastic growth all around the world. What Jesus proclaimed is happening. There are now more Christians in China today on Sunday than all of the Christians in Western Europe. There are more Christians in the Anglican churches in Nigeria this morning than in all of the Anglican churches in Australia, Western Europe, North America, and the UK combined. Something like 1,600 churches being planted every week. In Africa, something like 20,000 people becoming Christians every day. We are part of the fastest growing family on the planet. So Jesus encourages us to play our part for all nations. Now, of course, for some of us, that may mean traveling to some of those places in the Czech Republic, Greece, Moldova, Bolivia. There's a job to be done. But also, our country's changed a great deal, and there are people quite close to us from many different nations. So usually, for most of us, we only have to cross the street to fulfill what Jesus has said. There's a lovely book by Helen Rosevere, who's a great missionary in the Congo, and she said this: "Each of us is called by God, sent out to serve him. It doesn't matter how far he sends you. It might be to your next door neighbor. Distance has nothing to do with it." So whether he's placed us here or elsewhere, whether we cross the street or cross the world, we are all called to be global Christians, praying and working for God's gospel to go to all nations. So all authority, all nations, and then thirdly, all things. What do I mean by that? Well, it appears in verses 19 and 20. "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." So it's clear from what Jesus is saying just in that sentence that this task of mission is more than simply making converts. It includes, he says, baptizing them, teaching them everything I commanded you, making disciples, building congregations. And so mission involves not just the presentation of the gospel, but all of the good things we've been hearing about this morning from our mission partners, in extending that work, in building people up in their faith, strengthening churches, helping refugees, helping medically, helping in business, maybe helping in politics, God's people in all kinds of places to fulfill what Jesus is urging us to do. This is an essential part of mission, and I only mention it because it may be that some of us here would say, I'm no preacher, I'm no Bible teacher, but you may be a very good doctor, you may be a good engineer, you may be a teacher, you may be a nurse. There's work to be done in strengthening God's people, in reaching across the boundaries with the good news of the gospel in word and in deed. It is fantastic to see in the way in which God's gospel is advancing in all of these ways. Not long ago, I visited some church planters in the north of India. This was in Uttar Pradesh, where there is a major movement to plant hundreds of small churches across the state. And I met 1,000 church planters, mostly young people. They were brought together for 1 week every month in order to understand what the Bible is saying. So when I was there, we looked at the book of Acts. The previous month, they looked at the book of Deuteronomy. Week by week, month by month, understanding what the Bible had to say. I was so impressed, I said to the guys who were leading this, why such a big investment? 1,000 church planters traveling hundreds of miles for one full week every month under a large marquee where they slept and ate together. And why such a big investment? And they said, well, the answer is obvious. These 1,000 church planters mostly come from a Hindu background, so they have a Hindu worldview. Now they've come to know the Lord Jesus, they need a Christian worldview, a biblical worldview, not least because they're planting churches where they need to teach congregations what the Bible is saying, what the Christian life is about, how we respond in the culture where God has placed us. And when I heard that, I couldn't help thinking, well, that's exactly what we need in the United Kingdom, isn't it? We need to see more and more people understanding the good news of the gospel, all that Jesus taught, he says in this passage, so that we grow up as disciples, as learners of Jesus, our congregations mature, and in turn we are discipling others. It's a fantastic aspect of mission, not only the proclamation of the gospel, which is the heart of our calling, but also all that Jesus taught and did. Here's a fourth, I'm nearly finished, and that is always with you. Do you notice what Jesus says in verse 20? And surely I am with you always to the end of the age. I think this short phrase of Jesus, this promise of Jesus, is one of the most important things for us to hold in our mind as we think about God's calling to us as a church, as individuals, or in the cause of mission around the world. Do you remember how Matthew opens his gospel? He says, a baby is born, and the name is Emmanuel, God with us. And now Matthew ends his gospel with exactly the same idea. Jesus, Emmanuel, saying, I am with you even to the end of the age. So we have this huge encouragement as God's people that as he sends us out, nothing that we encounter can separate us from the presence of the Lord Jesus himself. Nothing can snatch us from Jesus' hand. Nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Wherever we go, we're given the assurance that Jesus the King is with us, as he promises in this lovely verse. This, of course, was the confidence that enabled that very small group of disciples to head out in mission as Jesus commanded. It's the assurance that people have in their bones, the Lord is with me whatever I'm going to confront. It's a theme all the way through the book of Acts. You may remember how Paul wrote on many occasions, this is one of the words of the Lord to him in Corinth. The Lord spoke to him in a vision, do not be afraid, keep on speaking, do not be silent, for I am with you. No one is going to attack you or harm you because I have many people in this city. That was the assurance. Came to him several times, even at the end of his life. The Lord stood by me and strengthened me. So I want to underline why that's so important, because it may be when we think about the task or we think about the challenge today, we could feel overwhelmed. You know, I feel I'm a young Christian. I'm not sure how to go about this. I don't even know if I could cross the street, let alone cross the world. We have the assurance that Jesus commissions us, encourages us, assures us of his word and of his presence. Now, I had an email yesterday from one of the leaders of the church in Sri Lanka, and you'll know that many Christians died just a short while ago with the bombing of the churches there. And his email was very moving, not least because he said the key thing that is assuring God's people at the moment in Sri Lanka is the presence of the Lord. They know the Lord is there, caring for them, supporting them. And that's the promise of these verses. If you know that in your heart and in your bones, then you can take this message wherever God sends you. Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. All authority, all nations, all things, always with us. And finally, we have all of us. This call to mission embraces every part of us. Do you remember Spike Milligan, the slightly wacky comedian? I used to enjoy some of his humor. And he once told the story, in a slightly humorous way, of a journey that he made on a train. And someone recognized him, and they said, "Oh, Mr. Milligan, nice to meet you. Where are you from?" So Spike Milligan said, "London." And the person said, "Oh, which part?" And he said, "All of me." And it needs thinking about, but it's a very clever joke, and it's absolutely right. This is exactly what Jesus wants of us, all of us. He's calling us, all of us, all about us, to serve him. He's calling us to give our time and our prayers and our money. He's calling us maybe to give our energies to a new area of mission, as I know some of you here will be doing. He may be calling some of us to give our lives to follow him somewhere else in the world. He calls all of us. That is a very important aspect of our Christian calling. But it's not as simply every part of me that Jesus calls for. He does. He's the King with all authority. But also, as we finish, of course, every one of us is called. Every one. And again, it's important just to underline what's been said several times in this really good service today. And that is, the call to being involved in this mission is not for some special spiritual elite. I know sometimes you think, well, look at the challenge. You know, I'm not really up there with some of these OM guys. I'm not in the SAS. You know, I'm not in the special services. I couldn't do what everyone else seems to be able to do. Well, let me again underline what we've been saying, and that is, no, God calls all of us who know the Lord Jesus to tell the good news to others, to be part of this mission. There may be some of us here a call to a complete change of direction, to serve in another part of the world. It may be, it's nice to have some amens as you're preaching, I really like it. It may be that for some of us, there is a radical change in our lives that will come. Maybe for most of us here, we're called to give our energies to continue where God has placed us. And there's a good team joining Catherine and Steve to be part of the communities in Gabon and Salatin. It may be for some of us, we're staying right where we are, and we really couldn't consider being in another part of the world or even being engaged in new work. Let me say one thing, one final illustration about that. Margaret and I were privileged to have her parents live with us for about 13 years. And Margaret's father, Ben, was quite severely disabled. He had a muscle wasting disease, which meant for about 11 years, I think, 10 or 11 years, he couldn't leave our house. He couldn't leave his room where he was sitting. But the great thing about him was he traveled the world, because next to his seat, he had a table and missionary magazines and letters from missionaries around the world and emails and news that we might give him of what God was doing all around the world. I don't know how many hours each day he would pray for God's work globally, but he was somebody who had the cause of Christ and the cause of global mission on his heart, on his mind, and in his prayers. So if you feel there's not much I can do, actually there is. You could pray for the advance of God's work through all the mission partners we've heard about. That is a strategic, essential part of the cause of mission. We need to have this global perspective. We need to play our part in this great commission. All authority, all nations, all things, always with you and all of us. I finish with the definition of what it means to be a global Christian, which comes from David Bryant. A world Christian is someone who is so gripped by the glory of God and the glory of his global purpose that he chooses to align himself with God's mission to fill the earth with the knowledge of his glory as the waters cover the sea. The burning prayer of the world Christian is, "Let the peoples praise thee, O Lord. Let all the peoples praise thee." And all of God's people said, Amen. Amen.